All right. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims is now in session. The Honorable Margaret Bartley presiding. All who have business before this court draw near, and you shall be heard. God bless the United States and this honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here. I'm joined for today's oral argument by Judge Peach and Judge Allen, and we're holding this oral argument live at the 2021 National Organization of Veterans Advocates Fall Conference. We're here today for the matter of Florence Petit versus Dennis McDonough, Secretary of Veterans Affairs. Docket number 19-5815. And the issue before us is Ms. Petit's eligibility for continued CHAMP VA benefits. Counsel for the parties, please state your name and your appearance for the record, beginning with appellant's counsel. Thank you, Mr. Carpenter and Ms. Hurl. And Secretary?
James Drysdale is the Secretary. With me is Anna Whitehead, Deputy Chief Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Drysdale and Ms. Whitehead. Each party will have 30 minutes to present their arguments. Mr. Carpenter, would you like to reserve a portion?
Yes, Your
Honor. Oh, okay. Very well, and you may proceed.
May it please the Court, Kenneth Carpenter appearing on behalf of Ms. Petit. I'd like to make two preliminary statements before I commence the argument. First is that I would like to thank the Veterans Consortium Pro Bono Program for giving me the privilege of representing this extraordinary young woman. Second point is that I'd like to apologize to the Court because in preparing for the oral argument, I realized that I did not focus the briefing as clearly and as precisely as I now realize I could have. Hopefully I will make those limitations clear during the course of my argument. To begin with, the Veterans Court in this matter, Your Honor, made a clear error of law when it unlawfully terminated the benefits of CHAMP VA programming for medical care to the... to Ms. Petit. That error was based upon a misreading, misunderstanding, and misinterpretation of the controlling statute. The controlling statute is 38 U.S.C. Section 1781, which requires that the Secretary provide medical care to survivors and dependents of certain veterans. Those veterans are, the spouse or child of a veteran who has become totally disabled, and that disability is permanent in nature, resulting from a service-connected condition. Statute provides at 38 U.S.C. Section 1781B that in order to accomplish those purposes, that the Secretary shall provide this medical care benefit in the same or similar manner and subject to the same or similar limitations as furnished by Part A of the Medicare program, as are provided to certain dependents of survivors of active duty or retired members of the armed forces under Chapter 55 of Title 10 of the United States Code, commonly referred to as CHAMPUS. The general acronym for this benefit is CHAMP-VA. The differential is that one benefit is being provided to active military duty or retired members of the armed forces, and this program is provided to the dependents of veterans. In that circumstance,
now, Mr. Carpenter, I know that your first argument was basically that, correct me if I'm wrong, that there is no termination provision in the CHAMP-VA rules. But isn't that true? Like, if a veteran is getting, isn't that true for most statutes, really, that have eligibility requirements? If you don't meet the eligibility requirements, or if you did meet them and then you stop meeting them, you know, your eligibility would just cease. It's not like there has to be a separate termination provision normally.
And that, Your Honor, is where I have to apologize to this court for being imprecise. I should have said that the error here has to do with the fact that this statutory provision, one, contains no reference to age. Two, that it contains no reference to the circumstances in which the benefits will no longer be available, except in subchapter B, in which that subsection of the statute specifically refers to meeting the requirements of the CHAMPUS program under Title 10. And therefore, the statutory language, the clearly expressed intent of Congress, was that these benefits were to be provided to dependents of totally and permanently disabled veterans who qualified, who allowed then their spouses and children to become qualified for these medical care benefits. And being qualified for those benefits, the error of the board here was in unlawfully terminating those benefits at age 18. There is no provision to terminate benefits, and the benefits should have only been terminated under the circumstances that benefits are terminated by the CHAMPUS program. And under the CHAMPUS program, those benefits are terminated at age 26. So the board made an assumption, an incorrect assumption, that there was a obligation to terminate those benefits at age 18.
Well, Mr. Carpenter,
yes, sir.
Wasn't the board using the definition of child, which is in 38 U.S.C. 101-4, I believe it is?
Yes.
And also, they made reference also to the 3.57 definition of child. Do you think that applies, 3.57, because it's under a subpart that deals with DIC compensation and pension?
No, I do not believe it does. I believe that the definition relied upon in the VA regulation is simply a general definition of children that applies only in the context of that regulation to dependency benefits, not to Medicare benefits or medical care benefits.
But nevertheless, we do have the statute 101-4.
That's correct.
And that does reference that you have to be in school between the ages of 18 and 20.
Yes, Your Honor, and therein lies another error of the board in this case, in which they imposed a requirement that does not exist in 104. 104 merely requires the child to be in an educational program. The board required that Ms. Petit be in that program on a full-time basis. There is no requirement for full-time attendance in 104. It is merely a participation in an educational program which she was participating in.
Right, I understand that. And let's for a minute, let's put to the side the full-time requirement, which you get to later in your brief. And not right up front. So, given that 1781 uses the word child, And that 101 defines a child as an individual who is in school up until they're age 23. Are you arguing that 1781B and is reference to kind of keeping TRICARE or CHAMPUS in lockstep with CHAMP VA, that supersedes the application of the 38 U.S.C. 101 definition of child?
No, Your Honor. Well, essentially what we're arguing is that the plain language of the statute sets out the requirement and there is no need to reference the definition of child. And that is demonstrated by the fact that the statute at A1 refers to these benefits being provided to a spouse or a child. As a result, the benefit being provided to the spouse has no termination, except obviously upon the termination of the life of the spouse. As a result, you have to read in context, which the board failed to do, what the statutory requirements were, and they are in combination under the statute of both subsection A and subsection B. And so where the board went awry, went off course, was to focus on the definition of child as being the fulcrum or the determinative basis for whether or not there was or was not entitlement to continued benefits. This is a termination of educational benefits. As the board correctly pointed out, the VA in 2008 granted her these benefits. There was no justification for those benefits to be terminated simply because she turned 18 and, in the language of the board's decision, was not enrolled in a full-time program of education. That was a legal error, and I'm sorry.
Right, but you're saying that you said that the definition of child is clear from, you said, the statute. You're talking about 1781.
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry. I believe it's clear from 104, that in 104, the reference is to a child who is over the age of 18 and is participating in an educational program. The error here, it seems to me, on the part of the board, was to conflate the Chapter 36 benefits for dependent education assistance along with the benefits for medical care under CHAMP VA. Those are two independent, separate, statutorily based programs. And they were commingled by the board as though they were the same program and had similar requirements. The requirement for receiving dependent education assistance benefits are independent of, and Ms. Petit met those requirements, to go to her continued schooling after the age of 18. But she was not required, in order to receive those benefits, to go to those, to be full-time enrolled. And the basis for the finding of fact was that she had turned 18 and that she was not full-time enrolled in an educational program. That is not the correct legal standard for a termination of benefits. The correct legal standard is found in Part B, or subsection B, of the statute, which is that you follow the requirements of CHAMPUS.
Could I ask you a question, Mr. Carpenter? So this argument you're making now, it seems to me, proceeds in this fashion. It assumes, and I'm not asking you to concede this, it assumes that the Affordable Care Act did not cover either TRICARE or CHAMP VA to start out with.
Oh, to start out with,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Then there is legislative activity that leads to a correction of that omission, if it was, with respect to TRICARE, right?
Yes.
And then the third part is, and even though Congress didn't act to insert CHAMP VA, 1781B steps in and says that effectively is what happened. Is that basically the chain of causation?
Yes, sir. Yes.
So let me just focus on that third part then, because I find the language of 1781B somewhat confusing as to what it means, right? So it seems to me your argument is that everything related to TRICARE then has to be mirrored in CHAMP VA, is that right?
Yes, sir.
So why wouldn't it be that 1781B is limited in the sense of not sort of who is entitled to participate in a program at some point in time, but rather the quality of the program? So in other words, if TRICARE covered eye exams, then CHAMP VA's got to cover eye exams. So in other words, if you're going to build a Cadillac for TRICARE, it's got to be a Cadillac for VA. But if you built a Yugo for TRICARE, you only have to do a Yugo for CHAMP VA. So how do we say it does the full mirroring that you're talking about?
Because, Your Honor, of the language used by Congress. And the language used by Congress says that the Secretary shall, mandatory, not permissive, provide medical care in the same or similar manner and subject to the same and similar limitations as Medicare as furnished to the dependents under the CHAMPIS program. As a consequence, it isn't a question of the specific provision, but that whatever action, criteria, in this case termination date, would be the same limitation or end date for the availability of that benefit. And in this case, that means the difference between age 18 and age 26 versus, as the board found, that these benefits were somehow terminated at age 18. And you simply cannot read the intent of Congress to mean anything other than the expressed requirement to the Secretary that the Secretary provide the same or similar benefits as those that are provided to retirees.
Now, the statute that you're referring to, 1781B, it does say what you just said, but then it adds this word, by doing, and then it lists three different things that the Secretary should do. So in your view, can you just go through those three different things and tell me what is covered under them?
I'm sorry, are you referring to under B?
1781B, it says, in order to accomplish the purpose
right.
of subsection A, the Secretary shall provide, just what you read, shall provide for medical care in the same or similar manner and subject to the same or similar limitations as medical care is furnished to certain dependents and survivors by... So it's not just it doesn't end there.
I understand it.
So
I was
three
just
different parts.
I was
that.
Just confused that my copy of the statute only has two numbers, and I thought you said three, and I got a little confused.
I think there's a nub after.
Oh, there is a nub.
There's one,
yes,
two,
yes.
And then there's another okay. thing. I think.
Well, I just want to make sure we were talking about
yes.
the same.
Yes.
Well, it clearly, Your Honor, again, Congress has made its intent clear in. I guess it would be paragraph one, in which it clearly says the by shall be entering into an agreement with the Secretary of Defense under which the Secretary shall include coverage for such medical care under the contract or contracts the Secretary enters into to carry out such chapter 55, and under the Secretary of Veterans Affairs shall fully reimburse the Department of Defense for all costs, expenditures made for the purposes of affording. So clearly, Congress was directing the Secretary to work with the Secretary of Defense to enter into the contracts that the Secretary of Defense was entering into identically, and that under those contracts, the provision of the Affordable Care Act, which required the benefit coverage to go from 23 to 26, would be part and parcel of those contracts, as clearly mandated by Congress. The second part is contracting in accordance with such regulations as the Secretary shall prescribe for such insurance, medical service, health care plans, etc. The important omission there is there is no direction to the Secretary or delegation of the discretion to set an earlier termination date. And the termination date that was set in this board decision, which does not appear in any statute or any regulation cited by or referred to in the board's decision, imposes a termination date of CHAMP VA to a child at age 18.
Okay. Ms. Burkay, would you please add 10 minutes?
Oh, my.
Okay. Well, my point being that the subsections that you just referenced appear to be about contracts for medical care.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor. Sorry.
Okay. So that the language that the Secretary shall provide for medical care in the same or similar manner, subject to the same limitations as that under CHAMPIS or now TRICARE, it's talking about medical care there and contracts with DOD. And you seem to be trying to say that this meant to change the eligibility requirements for children, for dependents.
Well, I will concede to making an assumption that the reference to contracts includes the termination of coverage provision at age previously 23 and after the Affordable Care Act at age 26. And that those contracts were entered into by the Secretary of Defense, and the comparable contracts were required to be entered into by the Secretary. What is critical here, Your Honor, is one of the intent of Congress. And even if we can parse this language in a way in which we say, well, there may be some uncertainty about what Congress was specifically referring to when they used the term contract or contracts, there can be no ambiguity in the fact that Congress intended CHAMP VA to reflect CHAMPIS or TRICARE.
Could I follow up with that? So not to be super precise here, but in subpart 2 of B, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It says, contracting in accordance with such regulations as the Secretary shall prescribe for such insurance, medical service, or health plans as the Secretary deems appropriate.
Yes.
Okay. I'm actually focusing on the word such.
Yes.
Insurance. That is words. Do you know what that's referring to? Because the word insurance hasn't appeared in... Do you see the sense of my question? Because subpart 1 does, as the Chief Judge is talking about, focused on like contracting for care, and then all of a sudden insurance crops up.
And I think that is a reference to the provisions of Medicare as being an insurance program. Now, that is entirely Ken Carpenter's view. I do not believe it is possible to extrapolate from this language that is correct. But I don't find it inconsistent with the fact that the program that is being provided is identical to that which is provided under Medicare by the federal government, based upon qualifying for Social Security benefits or based upon age qualification. So it is essentially an insurance program that is being provided. At issue in this appeal is when that program eligibility on the part of Ms. Petit ends as a matter of law. And it must end as a matter of law at age 26 and not at age 18 or, by implication, age 23.
Yes, Mr. Carpenter, can you hear me out there? Okay, thank you. Originally, Ms. Petit argued that the ACA should apply to her because the ACA extends the age to 26. The briefs went back and forth on that, and one of the secretary's argument is that the ACA doesn't apply to the CHAMP VA, and it applies to TRICARE only because the Congress passed a law saying that it would apply to TRICARE, and that over the past couple of years, the Veterans Administration has tried to get Congress to pass similar legislation to allow the medical care up to age 26. Now, could you comment on that?
I can, Your Honor. It is, I believe, an unsupportable contention on the part of the Secretary that assumes the ability to go beyond the plain language of the statute. What we're dealing with here is a question of statutory construction. And under the rules of statutory construction, this court looks, to determine whether or not the language used by Congress is clear. The Chevron deference, step one, is to make that determination. I believe that this court will be obligated, when doing so, to find that the language is clear, or if you will, clear enough to establish that it was the intent of Congress, as expressed in A and B of the statute, in those two subsections, when read together, that CHAMP VA was to reflect identically to CHAMPUS or TRICARE.
Well, if that's the case, then, Mr. Carpenter, why did not Congress say that during their hearings on the legislation that the VA proposed to make CHAMP VA equivalent to TRICARE, which is equivalent to ACA in the sense of the 26 years of age requirement?
Well, I have somewhat of a gnarly response to that, but I'm going to resist.
What kind of a response? Gnarly?
Gnarly, yes. In terms of being able to prognosticate why Congress does what Congress does. Separate and apart from that, it is beyond the role of this court to engage in that. And the Supreme Court has made it clear that whatever machinations Congress may or may not go through or has been asked to go through and didn't go through come into play when looking at whether or not they clearly expressed an unambiguous intent in what they wrote. Did Congress say what it meant and meant what it said? And in this case, when you read A and B together, there can be no ambiguity. There can be no uncertainty about what Congress intended to do. Congress intended to have CHAMP VA reflect, mirror, be identical to TRICARE.
And under these circumstances and the history of the proposed legislation, you don't think that we would be engaging in judicial or in a legislative action by saying it was 26 years of age, as is CHAMPUS, or TRICARE, and ACA?
I'm not sure what you've asked.
Well, if we go along with what you said, what I'm saying is if we determine that ACA should apply to CHAMPUS, in spite of the fact that TRICARE had to go in and get that legislation to say so, that wouldn't we be engaging in legislative action?
I see, Your Honor. I apologize. I did not understand the first way that you had phrased the question. The issue is not whether or not the Affordable Care Act applies. The issue is whether TRICARE changed the age requirement. TRICARE changed the age requirement. That is the immovable object here. That is a fact that the Secretary's invitation to this court to explore what Congress has done or failed to do is relevant. It is not relevant to your statutory interpretation. Your statutory interpretation starts with Chevron Step 1 to examine the language of subsections A and B of the statute. And if those words are clear on their face, then that's the end of the matter. And the requirement to terminate care under CHAMP VA is at age 26.
Ms. Briquet, would you please add another 10 minutes?
Mr. Carpenter, I'd like to ask just a couple of more mechanical-type questions. Is CHAMP VA, when you're under CHAMP VA and you qualify, you're eligible for CHAMP VA, is that an insurance-based premium, or how does it work? Insurance-based medical care? Do you pay a premium every month?
Oh, no. No, no. Okay. There's no premium payment.
Do you pay a premium in TRICARE?
I honestly do not know the answer to that, Your Honor. I do not believe so. But under CHAMP VA, you make application as a dependent, because the veteran has been considered to be totally and permanently disabled. And based upon that determination by the VA, that triggers the dependents of that veteran to apply for dependent educational assistance benefits and for CHAMP VA. That application is made to the program that is administered by the Secretary for CHAMP VA, and then you are deemed to be eligible, which happened in this case in 2008. And Ms. Petit was determined to be eligible. There has been no determination other than the determination of age that she no longer qualifies.
And a couple of questions regarding Ms. Petit. How old is she now?
She is 22, will be 23 in 2022.
Okay.
Sorry.
And is she still enrolled in school? And if so, part-time, full-time?
I believe she is still enrolled in school based upon our last conversation. I know that's her intent, and that she has been previously enrolled. But I cannot represent to the court at this moment that she is enrolled.
And if the court would determine that she should be covered by CHAMP VA, what do you see as the remedy, as considering that she's missed out on several years already?
The remedy in this court is, one, to reverse the determination that she was no longer eligible. Two, to remand with instructions to restore her eligibility, and to direct the Secretary to pay any claims that may have arisen between age 18 and the date of restoration. And this is something that I have experienced with CHAMP VA. When you get a retroactive award and dependents become eligible retroactively. Mm-hmm. And there is a process within the VA in which prior medical expenses can be submitted to CHAMP VA for approval and payment.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Carpenter, in the Secretary's brief, he spends quite a bit of time explaining why CHAMP VA is not a group health plan or a health insurance issuer. And is it my understanding, are you giving up that argument that the ACA directly affected CHAMP VA and included CHAMP VA in its age 26 designation?
The adjustment to my argument is that it is no longer relevant because TRICARE adopted that provision of the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, so your argument number two, I think it was, has superseded your argument number one. Okay. And as far as that argument you're making about 1781, do you have any examples? Were you able to find any examples where this is a provision I was calling in discussions with some of the judges, kind of like a lockstep provision? Like if TRICARE does something, hey, you know, VA should do it too, essentially. Although I noticed there are discrepancies in terms of medical care that's allowed under TRICARE versus CHAMP-VA. But at any rate, so we're calling it a lockstep provision. But did you find any examples where VA has or CHAMP-VA has changed its coverage or policy about medical care in order to ensure kind of compliance with TRICARE policies?
No, Your Honor, I did not. And frankly, I didn't know where to look. It's not a accessible inquiry on the VA's website or any other research tools that I'm aware of for decisions made by the VA. I don't even know what the process is to comply with subsection B of the statute to enter into those contracts. I don't know where those contracts are. Or quite candidly, even if they exist. But clearly, the CHAMP-VA program exists, and clearly the CHAMP-VA program reimburses or pays for medical care for a spouse or a child for a veteran who has been considered totally and permanently disabled from a service-connected disability.
Okay, and if we went, if we found, you know, looked favorably on your second argument about 38 U.S.C. 1781b, would we have to find that the definition of child in 38 U.S.C.
101
is kind of trumped? Because these two statutes, if what 1781B is saying is that the age cutoff for CHAMP-VA is 26, and what 101.4 says is that, well, the definition of the child is that you end your child designation at 23.
Right.
These are somewhat in conflict.
And they are if you attempt to use the definition as a measure for eligibility, which is what the board did here. What I'm suggesting is the proper interpretation of the statute is that TRICARE controls. And if TRICARE provides coverage to age 26, then CHAMP-VA must, as a matter of law, provide that coverage. And whether you characterize that as the statute superseding the definition or the definition in either 101 or 104 simply does not control the disposition of the Secretary's requirement to have his CHAMP-VA program be identical to the TRICARE program. And at least in my view, that is a focus that I didn't take in the briefing, and frankly, I should have. And I apologize to the court for not doing so.
Could I ask one final question? I know you're getting close, and it's very close to a question Judge Peach asked, but it's framed differently. So it is clear that the Congress that passed the ACA almost immediately recognized that there were omissions in the ACA to TRICARE and CHAMP-VA.
Yes.
And it's clear that there were attempts to fix those directly. One went through in TRICARE, the other one didn't with CHAMP-EA, right? Do we owe any deference is a bad word. What do we do with the understanding of those congressmen and women at the time that they actually did need to take some action with respect to CHAMP-VA? Do you see what I mean? Because normally for judges who will look to, quote, legislative history, it would be a powerful thing. But if we were to rule in your favor, what we'd be saying is, yes, you thought that you needed to do something, but you actually didn't realize that when you did TRICARE, you had already done something in an earlier Congress, 1781B, that actually then accomplished what you thought you had to do independently. Do you see what I mean?
So, yes, I do.
So what level of deference, if you will, do we give to that?
I believe...
Let's add 3 minutes, please, Ms. Burquet.
I believe the simple answer is none. The more nuanced answer is that the notion of a reviewing court interpreting an existing statute on the basis of what Congress has failed to do after having done, in this case, the enactment of the Affordable Care Act, isn't permissible, as I understand the Supreme Court's mandate to reviewing courts in reviewing, including themselves, what the meaning is of the statute. And that's why I think this court is obligated to focus only on what Congress said in subsections A and B of the statute. And if that meaning is clear, and I believe that meaning is crystal clear, that the TRICARE program controls. And if the TRICARE program terminates at age 26, then it's not pertinent. But if I could just take this a step further, it seems to me that the fundamental inconsistency in the government's invitation to this court to do that is that the inquiry has to do with age 23 to 26. Ms. Petit isn't 23 yet, and yet the VA terminated her benefits at age 18. That was unlawful, and it's unlawful independent of whether or not it extends. Now, I believe that this court has an obligation to direct the secretary to apply CHAMP-VA consistent with the terms of TRICARE. And that means ordering that Ms. Petit's coverage continues until age 26. Unless there's any further questions,
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Carpenter. I do have one more question.
Ms. Burquet, let's add 5 more minutes. Thank you.
Regarding the concept of CHAMP-VA should provide the same as TRICARE, but once you meet the eligibility of whatever it is, whether you're a spouse of a disabled veteran, 100% disabled, or a surviving spouse, or a child who meets the definition of a child or dependent, then doesn't the concept of providing similar or alike as TRICARE refer to the medical services that are provided, not to the eligibility requirements, but to the services, that they would be the same kind of service?
No, Your Honor. Okay. There's no reason to read the statute in that way in the context of this case. This case is not about the services provided. This case is about whether or not Ms. Petit was eligible for these benefits after the age of 18. And she clearly was, because the government implicitly concedes that the coverage level is at least to age 23, because TRICARE says it's 23. Now, they attempt to qualify that by saying that they don't really need to. But I beg to differ. They are obligated to, based upon the plain language of the statute. The statute isn't ambiguous on the point of the same or similar. And to me, there is no way for a reasoned interpretation of that language to suggest that there is somehow implicit limitations that were unstated. And particularly in this case, because they terminated at age 18, then they clearly had to have violated the plain language of the statute by terminating it at age 18.
That's it. Thank you, Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you very much.
And ma'am. Mr. Drysdale, you may proceed.
Chief Judge Bartley, may it please the court. The board's decision was legally correct based on current law. The plain language of the current statutes, when read as a whole, shows that an 18 to 23-year-old must be enrolled in a full-time course of instruction to remain eligible for the CHAMP VA program.
And what is your citation for the full-time? Your inclusion of full-time there?
Yes, Your Honor. As appellant's counsel has appeared to concede numerous times in his argument, the TRICARE provisions would control. And in the TRICARE statute, section 10 U.S.C. section 1072, it expressly requires full-time enrollment for a dependent child to remain eligible for TRICARE.
Mr. Drysdale, you just said that you're arguing that the TRICARE provisions do apply here as to the inclusion of full-time, but you are also apparently arguing that the TRICARE provisions regarding age 26 do not apply. That seems to be inconsistent.
Not at all, Your Honor. That is what we're arguing. But the point is that 1781B requires the Secretary to administer a program with the same and similar limitations to certain dependents in the way it does the same or similar as TRICARE. TRICARE does require full-time enrollment. Congress had to enact a separate piece of legislation to then raise the age eligibility from 23 to 26. But Congress has not done that in the case of CHAMP VA.
Could I just stop you just on that one point, because I want to be specific on this. When Congress extended, I'm going to call them the ACA protection or rule, the 26 years in the statute about TRICARE. I didn't think that the ACA itself requires that the child be attending college or any schooling at all, other than that they be a dependent. Is that your understanding of the ACA as well?
That is my understanding of the ACA, but it is our position that the ACA does not cover
VA. No, I'm going in baby steps.
Okay.
So that's what the ACA did, right? So
yeah, sure.
If you have a child who's 25, they're not going to school, but you're able to claim them as a dependent, then the ACA covers. Okay. Step two. When Congress enacts the statute whose name I'm forgetting that extended TRICARE extended the ACA to TRICARE. Did that extension statute itself require education, or did it simply mirror the terms of the ACA saying dependent?
Well, Your Honor, Congress did not extend the ACA to cover TRICARE, or CHAMP-US as the statute refers to it. They simply passed legislation that said we increased the age from 23 to 26 for TRICARE. It did not apply the ACA more broadly to that.
Fair enough. But did they use the term dependent child? Did they mirror that provision in the ACA to TRICARE?
The TRICARE statute itself has definitions that defines a dependent as one who is enrolled full-time. The legislation that Congress passed in 2011 to extend increase the age from 23 to 26 of TRICARE did not disturb that definition, other than to the number, the numerical age. It did not disturb the otherwise required element of full-time enrollment in a program of education.
Okay, and my second question then is, do you have examples of how 1781B operates? This is one of the questions I think Chief Judge Bartley asks your friend on the other side.
What type of specific cases where? Well,
yes, I mean, I can come up with hypotheticals in my head, but what has there ever been a time where the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, through his designee, says, oh, okay, the Defense Department has done X, so therefore I now do Y?
Okay, I think I understand the question. So from the inception of the CHAMP VA program in 1973, when 1781 was enacted in the statute there, until 2011, there was perfect parity, equity, harmony between the TRICARE, then referred to as CHAMP US, and the CHAMP VA program. Both required 18 to 23-year-olds to be enrolled in full-time education. The TRICARE statute defines a dependent that way, and VA has used its authority under 1781B to provide same or similar coverage to certain dependents in that same way. And that was the way both programs worked in lockstep from 1973 to 2011. At that point, Congress passed a piece of legislation that increased the age for the CHAMP for TRICARE to 26. And in that same bill, when it was passed in the House, it had a proposal to increase the age for TRICARE also, I mean for CHAMP VA also. But when the bill was passed, the bill that was passed by both houses, the CHAMP VA provision was removed such that only the TRICARE age increased, and Congress deliberately chose to take that out of the bill that ended up passing both houses. So they worked in lockstep perfectly together until 2011, and then Congress took specific action to raise the TRICARE age to 26, but did not do so for CHAMP VA.
But given the lockstep provision, perhaps the realization was that they didn't need to do that.
And as you do that, just in response to the question I asked, I understand your answer, but I'm actually looking, though, for this statute, 1781B, was from, I think, the early 1970s, 1973, I think, maybe.
Yes, sure.
So has there ever been a time at which that statute itself was the basis on which the Secretary of the Department took an action? In other words, right, you talked about the lockstep in terms of age, right? I'm really confused about what this section means. And so there's nothing out there in the world that discusses it. And so I'm now trying to back into figuring out what it means. by at least getting some examples of when the VA says, oh, we must do this because that was done at Champ VA. And maybe it was Champ US and TRICARE. We've entered into a contract with Glasses R Us. Ah, so now the VA has to enter into a contract with Glasses R Us because, do you see what I mean? I'm looking for those types of examples.
Right, and that's where the same or similar language referring to the medical care should be provided in the same or similar manner, because what is done, TRICARE is a fee-for-service VA, the TRICARE and the CHAMP VA program are fee-for-service programs administered through a network of providers. So there is not 100% participation by all the providers in CHAMP VA that are in TRICARE or vice versa, because an individual provider may seek to enroll in TRICARE and decide they have enough patients and they don't want to take, you know, VA, CHAMP VA patients, et cetera. So there's not always 100%, but so that's where the similar as possible, but these are done through networks of providers who then provide care on a fee-for-service basis. So VA doesn't enter into a contract with Glasses R Us, et cetera, simply because the TRICARE provider has, DOD has done it for TRICARE. But they are both fee-for-service programs that attempt to create the network to provide care for certain dependents. And dependent is expressly defined in the TRICARE statute. And it requires full-time enrollment. And the age for that has been changed to 26. Now, the reason VA can't go back now and create that perfect parity that there was from 1973 to 2011 is because the statutory definition of 101.4 specifically defines child for all of Title 38 purposes. And it says 18 to 23. Congress has not updated that. Although Congress is currently in the process of trying to amend 1781 to allow for coverage up to age 26 without regard to student or marital status. Since briefing has been completed in this case, bills have been introduced in both the House and the Senate to raise the age to 26 for CHAMP VA without regard to student status or marital status. The Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs had a hearing on that earlier this summer in June, and VA testified at that hearing that it strongly supports that legislative change, that the 1781 needs to be amended in order to create a statutory exception to the definition of 101.4, the definition of a child, for CHAMP VA purposes only.
Okay, Mr. Drysdale, you didn't quite finish answering before when I was asking for the authority for your statements that CHAMPUS requires full-time school attendance between the ages of 18 and 23. So, in your brief, you cited to 1781C, and you also cited to a Senate report. But you've admitted, you've admitted that the definition of child in 101.4 does not contain a reference to requiring full-time school attendance. And the two authorities that you're using are 1781C seems to be going to a completely different scenario of disabled children who become disabled, dependents who become disabled between 18 and 23. And other than that reference to full-time, you seemingly have nothing other than a Senate report that seemingly erroneously says that Champ VA has a full-time school requirement between 18 and 23. I'm just finding, like, what? Tell me why I should believe these authorities, because a Senate report, when the language is not in the statute, I'm not sure what authority the Senate report is if the language didn't make it into the statute. And also you point to, as I said, this completely different scenario that mentions full-time school attendance. Do you have any other authority? Why should I pay attention to these two authorities that you put forth?
Well, I believe we have provided additional authorities and not only a Senate report that. So let me clarify in case there's any misunderstanding about where this comes from or where we believe this comes from. So 1781B requires VA to administer a program to certain dependents in the same or similar manner.
Right,
as
I get
TRICARE.
I don't mean to be rude.
Well, I'm trying to explain the authority.
I know, but you were just arguing that the age 26 did not filter through from the ACA to TRICARE to CHAMP VA.
Well, and
that
I thought
liberalization did not filter through, but now you're arguing that the full-time requirement definitely filters through, something that would impact Ms. Petit in a negative way, that filters through from TRICARE to CHAMP VA through the exact same provision, 1781B.
Right. Your Honor, I thought you were asking me about the full-time requirement and where that came from.
I am, but I'm comparing your use of 1781B with regard to the full-time requirement to your use of 1781B as far as the age 26 requirement.
Well, that's right. And there is tension between the statutes because Congress specifically acted to raise the age for TRICARE and did not act as far to CHAMP VA. So you can't make 23 equal 26. The Congress acted to raise the age. There's always been the full-time requirement. It does flow through from TRICARE to CHAMP VA via 1781B and 1781C. And the only impediment is the definition of child in 101.4 because that limits VA to age 23. Now, if that age were raised, there would again be perfect parity. The only thing that has changed is the 23 to 26 age limit in TRICARE. And VA can't do that because there's a statutory bar at 101.4. If VA's advocating for legislation to create an exception to that for 1781.
Why wouldn't the statutory bar that you say exists for 101.4, okay, why wouldn't that equally be a statutory bar to match the requirement of full-time? Right, you seem to be using 101.4 to say, oh, my goodness, right, we can't go to 26 because, you know, it says 23. But then you say, but we can ignore the part of that that doesn't require full-time education because we're going to look to TRICARE, but we won't actually look to TRICARE to get to 26 because of 101.4. I mean, this is Judge Bartley's question, as I understand it. It seems like those two positions are entirely at odds with one another. Unless you take the position that we will read the statute in a way that accomplishes that goal, the funneling goal, when it is harmful to a claimant as opposed to when it's favorable. And that can't be the right result.
That's not what we're asking the court to do, to just read it only when it's unfavorable. What we're asking the court to do, VA is mandated, 1781B says we shall have a program that is the same or similar as TRICARE. And we're trying to do that to the fullest extent possible. And that does include a full-time requirement. And that has always been how both programs have worked. Now, we're not asking the court to read a part, read out a full-time requirement or read in a part-time requirement. I would note that none of the statutes, none, say part-time. That phrase, those words are not used in the TRICARE statute. They're not used in the CHAMP VA statute. They're not used anywhere. Full-time is used in all the relevant statutes, in the TRICARE statute, in the CHAMP VA statutes, and the court would have to read that part-time requirement in completely from thin air. It appears nowhere in any statute.
Well, you just said that the full-time requirement appears in the CHAMP VA statute.
Yes, Your Honor.
And I'm assuming that you're referring to 1781C.
Yes, Your Honor.
So why does 1781C say that it is establishing a universal requirement for any CHAMP VA dependent to attend school full time? That's a yes or no question. Does it say that?
That is the purpose. And that is...
Okay, so that's a no?
Well, it doesn't use the language that Your Honor used. So I will say 1781B, 1781C have to be read, all together as a whole. And 1781C explains that a student who is eligible for CHAMP VA, attending school full time, age 18 to 23, who becomes disabled and unable to continue, then retains eligibility for a certain period of time. And that shows that Congress knew how to create an exception for 18 to 23-year-olds who were not attending school, and they extended coverage for those parties. But there has never been any showing that Congress intended to extend that coverage to anyone attending part-time. 1781C doesn't, B or C neither says part-time. Nor does the TRICARE statute, which expressly requires full-time. And the purpose of the program...
I just have to stop you there again. The CHAMP VA statute does not say that a dependent has to attend school full-time. Is Ms. Petit disabled, to your knowledge? Did she become disabled between 18 and her current age of 22?
The record does not reflect that, Your Honor.
So why would... 1781C apply here in any respect?
Well, I think Your Honor
is referring only to dependents who become disabled between ages of 18 and 23, correct?
Well, Your Honor's reading it that way very emphatically, I believe. But if you look at the legislative history we've cited in our briefs, it clearly shows that Congress understood it differently. And we're relying on that and pointed that out to the court. And, the legislative history is something the court can consider in determining the plain meaning of these statutes and how the different provisions relate to one another. To determine the plain meaning, the court can look to the text, the structure, the legislative history, the purpose of the statutes. And we believe that when you do each of those shows that the TRICARE requirements and the CHAMP VA requirements are supposed to be aligned, and that they were until Congress deliberately chose to raise the age for TRICARE, but it stripped the provision out of the bill that would have raised it for CHAMP VA. We can't legislate. We're the executive agency, and we have been on the Hill trying to get this changed for the veterans to extend this coverage for age up to age 26 without regard to student status, but Congress hasn't appropriated the funds to do that yet.
Why couldn't we assume that if 1781B operated the way you say, right, which is the reason we get the full time in, right, according to you, right, up to 23, right? Why shouldn't we assume that it would be equally plausible for Congress to have not enacted a specific statute about CHAMP VA to get to 26, because it knew 1781B existed and it would operate exactly as you just said it did to pull in the full time? Why should we assume that Congress didn't understand that?
Well, Your Honor, you're not working against a blank background here. If you look at the legislative history...
Why would we go to legislative history? First of all... But you're saying the clear import of 1781B is that it sucks in full-time, trumping the lack of the word full-time in 101.4, right, because it pulls it in. Why wouldn't Congress have just been able to rely on 1781B, even if it was mistaken in understanding that that's the way its statute would operate? It didn't say anything in the TRICARE bill, right, to amend 1781B, right?
Right. That was part of a defense authorization bill, which is DOD specific.
Right, so then it didn't or couldn't have said anything about 1781B. So then 1781B exists, and it's rare that we will say that something is repealed by implication. So why wouldn't, if we can pull in full time, why wouldn't we say, hey, Congress, you know what? You didn't even know it, but you actually ended up solving the problem that existed, even if you did it accidentally.
Right. I understand that, but Congress does know it. They know that they've made a mistake and that they need to amend the legislation, and they're currently trying to do it. In June of this year, the Senate had a hearing on its bill that would specifically raise the age for CHAMP VA without regard to student status. And Senator Brown, who introduced the bill, he said at the hearing, this is, quote, an oversight from 10 years ago, end quote, that we need to correct.
Did VA in those hearings, and I didn't look at them, but did VA bring up the possibility that maybe Congress didn't need to fix the problem because it had actually proactively fixed it through 1781B?
No, Your Honor, because it's our view that the programs are to be aligned. So if VA did that, I mean, it would actually be less generous to veterans than what appellant's proposing. The new legislation is intended to, without regard, raise it the age to 26 without regard to student status.
Oh, I understand that, but the point is that, you know, although this doesn't happen very much, you know, we have so many statutes in the United States that, you know, Congress might actually think that there's a gap when, in fact, it filled the gap preemptively. I mean, it's possible.
Your Honor, I think Congress is very, very busy with a lot of things on their plate, and they would not have devoted the enormous amount of energy they have to proposing this legislation, putting it through congressional hearings in both the House and the Senate to make this change if it were completely unnecessary to do so.
Yes, Mr. Drysdale, I just need to get this clear in my head. 38 CFR 17.270, which is a CHAMP, civilian is CHAMP VA. And it says, they say it's a civilian health, it's a program, okay. And for the purposes of this, the definitions of a child, the definition of a child is as set forth in 38 U.S.C. 101. So far, so good.
Yes, Your Honor.
So now I'm going to go to 38 U.S.C. 101, and the definition of a child is, the term means, except for purposes of Chapter 19 of this title, the term means a person who is unmarried and who, after attaining the age of 18 years, and until completion of education or training, but not after attaining the age of 23 years of age, is pursuing a course of instruction at an approved educational institution. So the VA has adopted that regulation for the purposes of administering CHAMP VA to a child. Well, the statute doesn't say anything about full-time or part-time. So all this discussion that has been occurring on your part is to say that the section in, is it 1781, is the connector that justifies the VA saying you have to be full-time in school. But upon closer reading of that particular provision, it deals with a student who gets disabled during the school year. Did I miss something here?
Your Honor.
Mr. Drysdale, just give us a second. Ms. Breque, would you please add 10 minutes?
Is that your connective, like, connection to your...
It is, Your Honor.
To justify...
1781B and C and the legislative history behind those and the purpose of those statutes all permit the full-time requirement from CHAMP VA to flow. And if you'll indulge me for just a second, I do want to answer specifically the question, the connection. Because we have the age component and we have the full-time component. And it's easy to get crossed over on this. So I just want to be absolutely clear while I have Your Honor's attention and the opportunity to do it today. So 1781A authorizes the CHAMP VA program, and B says that VA shall administer it with the same or similar limitations as the TRICARE. Now, the purpose of that program, that statute, is to allow a dependent child who initially comes into the program, under TRICARE, to when their parent is on active service or, sort of under the DOD jurisdiction, if the parent then leaves active service or is deceased and their sort of jurisdiction shifts over to VA, the purpose of the program is to be the same and to have the same requirements, the same limitations, the same coverage, and to allow a dependent child to sort of move from one program to the other rather seamlessly, just under the jurisdiction of VA instead of DOD. That's the purpose of all these statutes. Now, when they're under the TRICARE, there's an express requirement that dependents be enrolled full-time to retain eligibility under TRICARE. Once they move over to VA, VA, in administering that program with the same limitations and same requirements, making it as similar as possible, also uses the full-time program. And the legislative history shows that Congress understood that's how they wanted this to work. The Senate reports that we've cited in the briefs expressly say, quote, they only retain CHAMP VA eligibility when they're enrolled full time. That's not obvious or not, expressly spelled out as clearly as we would like in the statute itself, but the purpose, the legislative history, and when 1781C was enacted, it was enacted to create an exception for students who are full time, as generally is required, but become disabled and can't continue. They say you get a period to then, come back to school. You retain coverage while you're recuperating and can come back, or until you turn 23. Now, none of that has to do with the age. And I understand the court's concern about bringing over part of that, but not bringing over all of it. But that's only because Congress acted to raise the age, but hasn't yet acted to change the age for CHAMP VA, although they're attempting to do so. So we're not trying to mix apples and oranges. We're not trying to bring over provisions that are unfavorable while leaving out the ones that are favorable. It's because Congress has chosen to do that. And it's the role of Congress to amend the statute to bring them back into parity the way they've always been from 1973 to 2011 until the age change occurred. And they should be the same because the purpose, if you read the statutes and you sort of understand what Congress was trying to accomplish, is to create a seamless flow from DOD jurisdiction to VA jurisdiction. So the purpose, the legislative history, the text itself, all the statutes require say full-time and explain about full-time. Part-time doesn't appear anywhere in any of the statutes. That would have to be created out of whole cloth to make this, to make the appellant's argument viable. And the court should not be reading those elements into statutes that simply are not there.
But you are.
Your Honor, there the statute, Your Honor.
Well, no, I mean, on that point, Mr. Drysdale, to, as the regulation Judge Peach said, is actually really really forceful. It actually says that the definition of child must, the regulation actually says must be that set forth in Section 101. VA adopted, so your position is VA adopted that regulation that said you must follow the 101. 101.4 does not say full-time, but yet we can insert full-time. If VA wanted to say that the definition of child for purposes of CHAMP VA was something other than 101, why would it enact a regulation that said the definition of child must be 101? That seems inconceivable to me.
Well, I don't think VA would have been able to do anything else, because 101 defines child for all of Title 38.
But this was a regulation that was enacted pursuant to CHAMP. I mean, it was CHAMP VA. It is for CHAMP VA.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you have said that the definition of child is that set forth in 101, except to the extent that Section 1781B requires it to be different? Because that's what you're saying to us now, but the regulation says nothing like that.
Right. I mean, I'm looking at the statute, and the TRICARE statute.
Right. Stick with this. You. When I say you, I mean the department. The department enacted a regulation that says, for purposes of CHAMP VA, a child will have a meaning. The meaning you said it must have is 101. Right.
Right.
You didn't.
Because that's what the statute says. VA couldn't change the definition of child.
Well, then why would you need a regulation to say that the statute means what the statute says? That doesn't make any sense either.
An abundance of caution.
The abundance of caution would have been it has the definitional requirement of 101 because Congress said that, but Congress also said in 1781B that we must follow TRICARE, and therefore, to the extent that TRICARE statute changes the definition of child, that is the definition we will apply. But that is not what you said. You said it must be 101.
Right. I mean, and it does. I mean, 18 to 23, as defined in 101.4, is the definition of child. That's the definition of child under Chapter 17, and the regulation that defines it there is the definition of child that applies to all of Chapter 38. But I will note that the statute, the CHAMP VA statute, does say that VA is to provide this medical care for certain dependents. It doesn't say all children as defined in 101.4a. So the statute itself uses different language that's more narrowly circumscribed because it is looking to TRICARE, because Section, if you look at the structure of the regulation, 1781 authorizes a program. 1781B simply says, do as TRICARE. There are not expansive authorities or laid out by Congress of what VA should and should not do in the CHAMP VA program other than to say, look at TRICARE. That's the only guidance we get. And so the statute, the TRICARE statute, 10 U.S.C. 1072 2D2 expressly defines a child as full-time enrolled. And that's what 1781B points us to. It doesn't give all these specifics about how the program is to be structured and all of these things. A authorizes it, and B says, do a strike here to the extent you can. And that's what VA has done. And Congress changed TRICARE to make it more generous, but there's a statutory impediment at 101 that would, with the age, that's trying to be corrected and broadened. So it, the, what needs, Congress needs to act. VA has strongly encouraged, supported amendments to this legislation to create even more generous benefits for veterans than what appellant is seeking. Up to age, coverage up to age 26 under CHAMP VA without regard to marital or student status. That is currently in process. The Congress is enacting or working to enact that now with VA support and the support of almost all veterans organizations who've weighed in on that as well. And if the court does not need to preempt that legislative action at this time, the remedy appellant seeks is legislative.
Excuse me, Mr. Drysdale. Ms. Briquet, would you add 3 minutes, please? Mr. Drysdale, could you just wrap up that thought? And I have one additional question. Do you have,
I would just say it's, you know, judicial review is not a substitute for legislative action. Congress, VA has informed Congress in its FY 2021 budget that the estimated cost of expanding the CHAMP VA program over a 10-year would be $1.09 billion. So Congress has not yet appropriated those funds for VA to be able to effectuate the expansion that we're advocating for, that we're supporting. And so it's not the job of this court to appropriate funds, it's the job of Congress to do so, to authorize the expansion that they're aware needs to be, legislation needs to be enacted to do that. Just as they did with TRICARE, they need to do that with CHAMP VA. And Senator Brown, who introduced the bill, said it was, quote, an oversight from 10 years ago, a legislative oversight. But based on the current law, the way the statutes are, the way the purpose, the legislative history, the structure of these statutes, simply referring VA back to TRICARE, those all support the reading that we're, or the plain language reading of these statutes that we're.
Thank you, explaining. Mr. Drysdale. And one additional very quick question. So I was asking Mr. Carpenter earlier about whether 1781B is limited to, you know, medical care types of issues. Now, can I assume, based on the argument that you've presented here, the Secretary's view is that 1781B is broader. Its import is broader than just aligning the kinds of medical care that are available under TRICARE to the kind of care that should be available under CHAMP VA.
Well, I would note that that statute uses the phrase same or similar twice. The first time it's referring to, it provides medical care in the same or similar way. And then it says it should provide with the same or similar limitations as TRICARE. So twice, each needs to be given meaning. Once for the medical care, creating a network that's similar to TRICARE. Second, to create a program that with the same limitations and functions as TRICARE. And okay. TRICARE, and it says that all of that should be done to provide for certain dependents. And the certain dependents, at least under TRICARE, are defined as full-time students after the age of 18.
Thank you, Mr. Drysdale. Mr. Carpenter,
I just have one. One very quick question. I had asked Mr. Carpenter if CHAMP VA was an insurance premium, where you paid insurance, and he said no. And then I asked him about TRICARE, and he said he didn't know. So I'm going to ask, may I ask you, is TRICARE premium-based insurance, or is it just you go in and you don't, regardless, you go into like a military hospital, I suppose, and just get service, or is
right.
it?
It's a fee-for-service program with a premium.
Premiums, uh-huh, okay.
Right, but the insurance as referenced, I would agree, is referring to the limitations imposed by Medicare, its Social Security, the both the TRICARE and the CHAMP VA statutes are only those programs only come into relevance after those other, if it's not, a person's not enrolled in Medicare, not enrolled under Social Security, disability, and half coverage in those
and
ways.
TRICARE eligibility is given to retirees from full-time military service. Are they eligible?
Dependents, certain dependents, as defined in 1072, are eligible.
Okay.
10 U.S.C. 1072, just to be clear.
Thank you, Mr. Drysdale. And Mr. Carpenter, you may move ahead.
May it please the Court. As I understood the argument made by the government made no effort to defend the board's decision in this case. What I heard was a post hoc rationalization for why they arrived at the determination that they made. In the 4 pages of this board decision, including the order, the board did not articulate anything approaching what we've heard from the government in their argument here today. I would direct the Court's attention to what is page 3 of the Board's decision, page 4 of the RBA, in which the Board states as follows: for purposes of VA benefits, including CHAMP VA, a child includes a veteran's biological child, and then it has 3 subsections thereafter, the first 2 of which don't apply. They are in parens in lowercase Roman numeral. But in Roman numeral 3, it says, who, after reaching 18 years, until completion of education or training, parens, but not after reaching age 23, is pursuing a course of instruction as an at an educational institution approved by the Department of Veterans Affairs. That's what the board said. The board said that the benefit that was available under CHAMP VA was available until age 23. The government has not attempted to defend that. The government has offered reasons about legislative intent that I believe invite this court to violate the canons of construction of statutes. There is no condition under the statute at 1781 that requires full attendance. That was the basis for the board's decision. That was an error of law. Ms. Petit is entitled to the reversal of that board decision and an order of the reinstatement of her benefits until at least age 23. We believe that this court should go further and order that to be until age 26. If the court does not do that, then next year, when she turns 23, the VA will terminate those benefits and she will start an odyssey that began when she was 18 and she is now 23 to get here. And we're only talking about 3 years of eligibility. She should not be forced to do that. I believe that this court has all of the information necessary to make the correct determination in this case, and unless there are further questions, I will not present any further argument. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. And the court thanks both parties for their arguments. And we also want to thank the NOVA Board of Directors and Executive Director for the invitation to hold argument here this morning. The case is submitted for consideration, and the court is adjourned, and we will come down and greet counsel.